with incredible accuracy. If there was one good thing that Mary Hodges, formerly loquacious, was good at, it was attempting to obey orders. She liked orders. They made the world a simpler place. What she wasn't good at was change. She'd really liked the chattering order. She'd made friends for the first time. She'd had a room of her own for the first time. Of course, she knew that it was engaged in things which might, from certain viewpoints, be considered bad, but Mary Hodges had seen quite a lot of life in 30 years, and had no illusions about what most of the human race had to do in order to make it from one week to the next. Besides, the food was good, and you got to meet interesting people. The order, such as was left of it, had moved after the fire. After all, their sole purpose in existing had been fulfilled. They went their separate ways. She hadn't gone. She'd rather liked the manor, and, she said, someone ought to stay to see it was properly repaired, because you couldn't trust workmen these days unless you were on top of them the whole time, in a manner of speaking. This meant breaking her vows, but Mother Superior said this was all right, nothing to worry about. Breaking vows was perfectly okay in a black sisterhood, and it would all be the same in 100 years' time, or, rather, 11 years' time. So if it gave her any pleasure, here were the deeds, and an address to forward any mail, unless it came in long brown envelopes with windows in the front. Then something very strange had happened to her. Left alone in the rambling building, working from one of the few undamaged rooms, arguing with men with cigarette stubs behind their ears and plaster dust on their trousers, and the kind of pocket calculator that comes up with a different answer if the sums involved are in used notes, she discovered something she never knew existed. She discovered, under layers of silliness and eagerness to please, Mary Hodges. She found it quite easy to interpret builders' estimates and do VAT calculations. She'd got some books from the library and found finance to be both interesting and uncomplicated. She'd stopped reading the kind of women's magazine that talks about romance and knitting and started reading the kind of women's magazine that talks about orgasms. But apart from making a mental note to have one if ever the occasion presented itself, she dismissed them as only romance and knitting in a new form. So she'd started reading the kind of magazine that talked about mergers. After much thought, she'd bought a home computer from an amused and condescending young dealer in Norton. After a crowded weekend, she took it back. Not, as he thought when she walked back into the shop, to have a plug put on it, but because it didn't have a 387 co-processor. That bit he understood. He was a dealer, after all, and could understand quite long words. But after that, the conversation rapidly went downhill from his point of view. Mary Hodges produced yet more magazines. Most of them had the term PC somewhere in their title, and many of them had articles and reviews that she had circled carefully in red ink. She'd read about new women. She hadn't ever realised that she'd been an old woman. But after some thought, she decided that titles like that were all one with the romance and the knitting and the orgasms, and the really important thing was to be yourself, just as hard as you could. She'd always been inclined to dress in black and white. All she needed to do was raise the hemlines, raise the heels, and leave off the wimple. It was while leafing through a magazine one day that she learned that, around the country, there was an apparently insatiable demand for commodious buildings in spacious grounds run by people who understood the needs of the business community. The following day, she went out and ordered some stationery in the name of Tadfield Manor Conference and Management Training Centre, reasoning that by the time it had been printed, she'd know all that was necessary to know about running such places. The ads went out the following week. It had turned out to be an overwhelming success, because Mary Hodges realised early in her career as herself that management training didn't have to mean sitting people down in front of unreliable slide projectors. Firms expected far more than that these days. She provided it. Crowley sank down with his back against a statue. Aziraphale had already toppled backward into a rhododendron bush, a dark stain spreading across his coat. Crowley felt dampness suffusing his own shirt. This was ridiculous. The last thing he needed now was to be killed. It would require all sorts of explanations. They didn't hand out new bodies just like that. They always wanted to know what you'd done with the old one. It was like trying to get a new pen from a particularly bloody-minded stationery department. He looked at his hand in disbelief. Demons have to be able to see in the dark, and he could see that his hand was yellow. He was bleeding yellow. Gingerly, he tasted a finger. Then he crawled over to Aziraphale and checked the angel's shirt. If the stain on it was blood, something had gone very wrong with biology. "Oh, that stung," moaned a fallen angel. "Got me right under the ribs." "Yes, but do you normally bleed blue?" Aziraphale's